Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 26th of October, recording at 9:28 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights here. What have we got? Well, the Asian stock markets were mostly firm in here today. Some of the best action was in Hong Kong, up over 1%. Australia, quite strong in here. New Zealand, which had been very much of a laggard recently, has certainly been picking up. And what else can I mention here? The European stock markets mixed, mostly with modest declines. They had been strong this morning, so that's left some small tails on the chart, on the candlestick charts. In other words, there's those little thin lines. There you see the indices open stronger and then came off. They're out on a, they're looking a little bit stretched. Wall Street, though, closed near the highs of the day. It had been down most of the time, I believe. I wasn't watching the screen for sure, occasional glance, but the Dow up 29, nearly 7 on the S&P. NASDAQ composite having the best gain, up almost 1%. Now, elsewhere, we've got a bit steadier action in government bonds that was prompted by the Fed's statement that inflation was probably moderating. And so that firmed up bond prices pretty well across the boards. Very interesting here, the dollar is weak. More about that in a moment. That helped precious metals, although, which had some quite good gains, but those were pegged back when the oil price weakened, and that's interesting. So more on that in a moment. And it looks like we're getting a little more consolidation in that grain and bean complex. Okay, where are we in terms of the global stock markets? Well, the major risk or concern at the moment, I think you're talking short term here, is that some of these uptrends are beginning to look overextended. They've been very, very orderly, very consistent. But this is what we refer to, well, not yet. Let me start again on this point. There's something that we refer to in the chart seminar when you have these very orderly trends, either up or down, where And that only occurs, incidentally, I mentioned for new subscribers, you probably know this, but just in case, that if we only get a persistent trend if the supply and demand ratio between buyers and sellers is out of balance. In other words, we have imbalance. So if you have a clear imbalance in favor of demand, as we have had recently with these stock markets, then you get these very, very consistent upward trends that you've been looking at on the indices. Now, it's when supply and demand moves back into balance that you then get a trading range, and sometimes it reverses quite quickly, in which case, if it were to reverse quite quickly from this demand-dominated environment to a supply-dominated environment, we would get a downward dynamic, which would be a sharp single-day reaction. Now, we refer to those as in the chart seminar and in our office here as an OMG moment. That's when you come in and you become used to this nice orderly trend, and you look at the screen and say, oh my god, look at that, look what that's done. Now that's what I think we're going to see. I don't know whether we're going to see it tomorrow with weekend profit taking, or whether we're going to see it several weeks or perhaps even longer from now. But because these short-term trends are getting a bit overstretched, they will spill over into a reaction and consolidation. Now if we just gradually lose momentum and they mess around for a while, then, and I'm thinking ahead because there's no evidence of this at the moment. I emphasize that I'm thinking ahead. And I'm not talking about any sort of big disaster, huge shakeout, which is, had been forecast for so long, although those people have gone quiet now. I'm just talking about a spillover into a longer consolidation than the usually less than a week little pauses that we've seen in the last couple of months or more. Now, what might actually trigger that? Well, it could be the rising oil price, but that fell back today. Crude's back at 60.16. It might be weaker long-dated government bond yields, but those are, I beg your pardon, might be stronger long-dated government bond yields, but those have declined. In other words, the bond market futures prices have rallied in here today. It could be, well, it's most likely to be one of those factors. I think oil is the big one in here. That's what everybody's has been looking at. And what I've said all along is that if the oil price stays soft, then that is not weighing on government bonds in the sense that inflation will not be weighing on the minds of long-dated government bond investors. And if oil prices are staying relatively subdued, then that will help to cushion this easing phase that we've seen for global economy, the global economy, and growth will be okay, and that's, it would be a favorable environment for stock markets. And so subdued oil prices and everything, more we would be more likely than not to just get more small little, very little consolidations within these upward trends for stock market indices. Conversely, if we get a sharper rally in the oil price, then that could well unnerve investors. Now, we had one very strong day yesterday, and to me, that looked very much like evidence that my suspicion that we were in a bottoming out zone was going to be correct. Now, we have not seen upside follow through by these energy contracts in here today. That doesn't negate the bullish implications of yesterday's action. It was quite a significant dynamic, and you get the crude oil price rising $2 through the close, but it's given up $1.22 of that in here today, and that suggests to me that even though the oil technical outlook is gradually firming, that I still think, as I'd said before, that it's going to take a bit of time. We're more likely to get a sort of ranging bottoming out process rather than one of those very persistent runs on the upside. I think the next move on the upside, and I do feel that the big potential is on the upside for oil prices. I've never bought into the below 50 view that has been quite prevalent recently. And note the psychology. You know, when oil was up at $75 or higher, when was it, back in July, I think, then we were hearing all sorts of forecasts for $100. You know, when it's been languishing down here below 60, we've heard lots of calls of 50 and then 40 and so on. And that tells you that people have gotten out of, if nothing else, it tells you that people have gotten out of their long positions and gone short, just as those bullish forecasts of 100 told us that there were a lot of longs in the market. Okay, so I think that this bottoming out process for oil will require more support building at these prices before we get a strong move on the upside. That's my hunch at any rate. Now, and I've already said, going back to the stock markets, that watch the oil. That's a key indicator for sentiment right now. It would always be the case, but it certainly is right now. And that's what will make people feel, oh dear, we need to worry about inflation, or hey, we can relax. You know that inflation's not going to be a problem for a while. But either way, here I'm not looking for anything more than a reaction and consolidation by some of these stock market indices that are looking a little bit overstretched. I'm not looking for any more than that at worst. And the best case is oil hangs around the $60 level and these markets just could continue with the very little pauses and move on upwards. What I think I can say for certain is that nothing important can happen in terms of a change in trend for these stock markets without it seeing it within 24 hours. Okay, now moving on to the government bonds, let's say a little firmer in here right now. I don't like this sector. As you know, we saw that predictable rally as stock markets commenced their correction in May. And yet, here we are. We've had the UK gilts move all the way back down to their lows before steadying up a little bit. And the upward trends in bond prices, the downward trends in yields, have slowed and or most likely been broken. I think they have been broken. So I don't think we're going to see yields drop back down below the lows that we saw, say, at the beginning of October or in late September, whichever was lowest. Why don't I feel that way? Because I think that the decline in oil prices will help the global economy, and we'll actually see some evidence of that when data for the fourth quarter of this year starts to come through. Of course, almost all of that data will come through in the first quarter of 2007. But I've always felt that we would see nothing more than a slowdown in GDP growth and that the oil price would be bullish for the global economy, give it a second wind in 2007. And that's still what I'm looking for. But you're more concerned about what we think of, well, I shouldn't presume, but I think most listeners are probably more concerned about what's the outlook for stock markets. What I've already said, no worse than a little bit bigger consolidation than we've seen over the last couple of months, which could be triggered by oil. Government bonds, I don't think there's much in it, but they probably won't do a whole lot here in the short term. So let's move on to the US dollar. In terms of the dollar index, and I haven't posted comment of the day yet, but I will shortly after I'm just doing some interesting charts of the day, and gosh, running out of time here. Well, it'll probably be up a little bit after 10, another late evening. But good thing Mrs. Fuller is in Moscow, right? Or I'd be in trouble. But in terms of the dollar index, now it's heavily weighted with the euro, but the dollar had another soft day in here today. So whereas last week we saw the dollar index at one stage get up to its range highs, it's been in this sort of broad trading range for several months, got up to its range highs. I think it was up around 87.35, and today it's at 85.90, and it's eroding support. And I think it's going to go back down to the bottom of the range, which is down in that 83 area, and more likely than not break down out of the bottom of that range. Now, I don't expect big drama in here anytime soon, but what had helped the dollar to move upwards earlier this month was the fact that people were saying, oh, the Fed's going to reassess, they're not going to cut rates, they may even start cutting rates again as early as before year end and in the first quarter. And I don't I don't agree with that. And I think that that sentiment is now, pendulum of sentiment has swung to negative for the dollar because people are saying, well, no, we're not going to get rate hikes in here. But at any rate, that softer dollar helps to firm up the precious metal prices in US dollars. But there's, and as I said, they had a reasonably good day in here. The patterns are gradually improving. But remember, oil is a big influence. It's an even bigger influence, or it has been in recent weeks, an even bigger influence than the US dollar. So if oil dips back below 60, that may well lead to more ranging support building in the precious metals sector as well before it does push higher. But as you know, I have upped my precious metal positions here recently because I could see the dollar weakening and I was impressed by that dynamic on in oil yesterday that was beginning early yesterday. So I upped my precious metal positions. But I'm still going to trade this sector fairly defensively, in other words, and cautiously until that next trend is clearly established. And then if we when we get the next clearly established upward trend, then I will leverage up behind behind trailing stops. Okay, what else to mention here? Grains and beans, I think we're getting a little bit more consolidation, but I think we'll get another run in this sector probably before the year ends. And that's it. So I'll just say all the best and roll on Friday.